Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper here on the Living Faith Television Network. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the senior pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia, and we're so thankful that you've joined us this evening. I'm going to be speaking tonight from the book of Ephesians, a message I've entitled, Worn Out Knees. Life signs. That's what your doctor looks for when you go for a physical exam, but are you aware it's also what God looks for in us, especially in all of us who claim to be born again? I'd like to ask you a very serious question tonight. Are you born again? Have you come to know the risen Christ? When you breathe your last, will heaven be your eternal home? The reason I ask is there are many people who are claiming to be saved today, but the faith they claim is not making a relevant impact in their lives. And their lives are not having a relevant impact on the world around them. And friends, I want you to know that this is not a new problem. This issue has been going on since the days of God's prophet in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah's day, there were folks who professed one thing in their worship service, but the only problem was, like a lot of churches today, what they professed wasn't being lived out in their daily lives. And the result for those hypocrites was that they suffered greatly for their sin. Have you ever stopped to consider what might be the result of your own spiritual hypocrisy? Paul picked up on the spiritual hypocrisy of some, and he wrote in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His point, you cannot impact others for Christ with what you yourself do not possess. Sadly, a lot of time today, God's people are speaking great and mighty things that they themselves are not living out. So it shouldn't surprise us that many churches today are being seen as irrelevant in a world searching for relevance. Have you ever stopped to consider the question, why has the church become so irrelevant in a world seeking for relevance? Well, the answer is very simple. By and large, many in the body of Christ today are not living a surrendered life to Jesus Christ. You see, the reason we're so worn out in life is because we are not yielded to the Lord. And this truth manifests itself in several ways in the body of Christ. You see, it's oftentimes in the body of Christ we are unable to be consistently faithful in worship. It's the reason we are not making as big an impact for God's kingdom as God desires. It's the reason many Christians are choosing to do what is right in their own eyes instead of what is right in God's eyes. Be warned, though, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Are you aware that many Christians all over the world feel the Bible is a book of suggestions and not the absolute final authority? What is the Bible to you? Many Christians have chosen to adapt the gospel, a gospel, to fit how they want to live and do not care if God's word says otherwise. So again, I ask, what is the Bible to you? Is it God's final word of authority for you? Or are you seeking to adapt to fit the lifestyle you want to live? Be warned again. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Ask yourself this. Where is the evidence in my life that I'm living a yielded life? Are you aware the Bible commands us to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith or not? The physical evidence of who you are, what you do, where you go, and who you associate with cannot be denied. And it's what God looks at as he examines us. God's prophet Jeremiah, speaking to the people of his day, wrote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Ask yourself three questions tonight. What do the fruit of my doings deserve? What evidence is there that my faith, the faith I claim to have, is relevant? Am I living a yielded life? Why these questions? You listen as I read from God's Word, beginning in Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Join me in a word of prayer. Almighty Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. O Lord, the questions are soul searching, and may we search our souls. Lord, may our lives prove to be relevant in a world seeking relevance. There are people tonight who are lost, people in our families, people who may be tuning into this program, and they are without Christ. Lord, a time comes for all men when you will call all men home, and may we know that when we get called home, that we have been born again, born of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, God's word here commands us to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Again, one of the reasons that many people claim they're so worn out in life is because our knees aren't. The greatest thing missing today from the life of many a child of God is prayer. Are you aware that when we fail to pray, we can't move in the Spirit? All we can do is run around in the energy of the flesh. Let me ask you, how many of you want to pull down blessings from above and impact your world around you? Impacting the world around us is what it means to live a relevant life. And if we want to make a kingdom impact in our community and in our world, two things are going to have to happen. First, the Word of God has to impact you and I. If the Word of God isn't impacting us, we got nothing we can share. You can't share what you don't have. Oh, how we need the Word of God to be impacting us today. Second, we have to be surrendered to God's will, not our own. You know, we pray that prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." How many of us are praying that prayer in sincerity, and how many might be lying because you don't want God's will done, you want your own done? We need to be bowing in humble reverence, obedience, and dependence on the Lord our God. Again, one of the reasons we're so worn out in life is because our knees aren't. On February the 26th, 1829, a Jewish boy named Loeb Strauss was born in the cottage in the Bavarian village of Butenheim. As a young man, Loeb changed his name to Levi and wound up in California, where he opened up a textile company in San Francisco. One day, a gold miner walked into Levi's shop and assailed the young merchant. He said, "Look at these," said the miner, pointing to his pants. "I bought them 6 months ago, and now they're full of holes." When Levi asked the miner why, the miner explained, "We work on our knees most of the time." "What you need is a really strong material," replied Levi. "We have some canvas. It's used to make tents. If we make your trousers out of canvas, I'm sure they won't get any holes." The rest is history. Went wearing Levi Strauss's jeans all over those mines. William Cowper wrote, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christians today had the same problem that plagued that miner, worn out knees? Has the church forgotten that we can only do our best for God when we are down upon our knees? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote in his studies on the Sermon on the Mount, and I quote, "Prayer is beyond question the highest activity of the human soul. Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God." Spurgeon wrote, "If I cannot rise upon the knees of my body because I am so weak, my prayers from my bed shall be on their knees, my heart shall be on its knees, and pray as, be as acceptably as aforetime." These men understood what it meant to be surrendered to God's will. They knew if they were to be yielded to God, they had to approach life from their knees. God wants us to know, first of all tonight, worn out knees means reverence. Now don't get the idea that we always have to kneel to pray, because the Bible describes many postures of prayer. Jesus, for instance, stood and prayed with his eyes lifted up to heaven. In Gethsemane, he fell prostrate. David sat before the Lord for prayer, according to 1 Chronicles 17 and 16. Sometimes Bible heroes prayed while lying on their beds, or as the disciples did with Jesus as they walked along a road. No specific posture is required for prayer, but each possible posture conveys a different prayer attitude. Standing simply means boldness. Walking conveys a sense of fellowship. Sitting before the Lord implies a down-to-earth, business-like approach. And kneeling represents submission, earnestness, and yieldedness. In her book, Adventures in Prayer, Catherine Marshall wrote that as a teenager, she dreamed of going to college. But the mountain church where her father served was struggling during the Great Depression. She applied to Agnes Scott College in Georgia, but was short of the needed funds. She writes, and I quote, "One evening, Mother found me lying across my bed, face down, sobbing. She sat down beside me. 'You and I are going to pray about this,' she said quietly. We went into the guest room and knelt beside the old-fashioned gold note bed that Mother and Father bought for their first home. 'I know it is right for you to go to college,' Mother said. 'I believe that God planted this dream in you. Let's ask Him to tell us how to bring it to reality.'" And there in that little home, kneeled side by side, they prayed in the presence of the Lord. And Catherine tells of how her mama received an offer from the government a short time later to write a history of their county. And the payment was enough to provide the necessary funds for her to go to college. This story should remind us that our victories are gained on our knees. When we bow before Almighty God, we acknowledge Him as our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. As we yield ourselves, our plans, and our problems to Him, He intervenes for our good and His glory. But our victories only come, friends, when we bow before Him in reverence. Oh, here's a second point that God wants to make with us tonight. And it's this: worn out knees means obedience. One of the strangest incidents in the life of King David involved moving the Ark of the Covenant from the village of Kiriath-Jearim to its new home in Jerusalem. According to 1 Chronicles 13, David anticipated the day with excitement, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. The nation gathered with jubilation. Having placed the ark in a new cart, the drivers started off, while David and all Israel played music before the Lord. The music, however, stopped abruptly when the oxen stumbled and the cart tottered. It was then that Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark, and God instantly struck him dead. The ark was quickly shuttered off to the house of Obed-Edom, and there it stayed, for everyone was afraid to move it. It wasn't until later that David realized what had gone wrong. First, David had failed to arrange for the ark to be transported as God commanded in the Mosaic law. It wasn't to be carried on a wagon, but on poles borne by Levitical priests. Second, David had failed to pray and inquire of the Lord about how to go about it. David said, "We did not consult him." These are the kinds of things, friends, that we need to be thinking about. These are the kinds of things that happen when we move off in our own fleshly strength, when we move in the energy of the flesh instead of praying for guidance from God. We should be on our knees accepting a job offer, making a purchase, or making a decision of any consequence. You see, just as in David's day, people are watching us and they know what we're living and know when we're living in prayerful obedience. They also know when we act without consulting God. David didn't consult God. He said, "We did not inquire of God. We did not talk to Him." And while his intentions were good and noble, just like yours may be, he tried to do something for God in the energy of his flesh. How often have you tried to do something for God? Your intentions were good. Your intentions were right. But you tried to do it. And you tried to do it in your own strength. You tried to do it without God. David tried to do it without God. And when we try to do something without God, we reap corruption, just as David did. In this matter, David wasn't living a yielded life to God. Could God say that of you? Could God say that of me? Oh, how I love them, but they're just not living a yielded life to me. Oh, that they would stop running around in the energy of the flesh. I ask you again, what evidence of a yielded life, a surrendered life, does your life bear? Well, there's a final point that God wants to make here tonight. And that's this: worn out knees means dependence. This too is obvious to others. because worn out knees, as we talked about, draw down the blessings from above. Many years ago, my grandfather was going to have surgery. He'd been diagnosed with cancer in his kidneys. As you can imagine, in this little boy's heart, in all my family's heart, there was concern that Grandpa was going to die from kidney cancer. My daddy came home from lunch one day from work, and he went to his prayer closet and he spent time in prayer. And then my daddy emerged from this time of prayer and said God had given him peace on the matter. Grandpa was not going to die for kidney cancer. Daddy said, God led him to believe that Grandpa would be healed, and he was. It is amazing what God has done and what God does when his people get on their knees and pray. David learned that lesson the hard way. Perhaps we need to learn that lesson before we have to face some hard times. Why are we trying to move ahead without depending on God? Why might you be trying to move ahead in life without depending upon God? Why do we depend at times on our own wisdom instead of God's sure wisdom? To live the spiritual life, friend, we have to live a yielded life. Yielded lives are full of reverence. Unyielded lives are not. God uses yielded lives to make a difference in the world around them. David had to learn that lesson at the expense of the life of Uzzah. What expense might you have had to pay for being disobedient and non-dependent upon God? David had to learn what we must learn if we are to see God's hand move in our lives. He had to learn to live a yielded life. And that began by bowing before God in humble reverence, confessing his sin. We did not consult him. Do you realize that confession is an act of humble reverence? It signals to God our desire to obey and depend upon him. When David did this, God poured out his blessings. Friends, we need to know this. We need to embrace this. If we want to pull down the blessings from above, we're going to have to get on our knees. We're going to have to surrender ourselves to the Lord. We're going to have to bow before him in humble reverence. We're going to have a desire to be revived. We're going to have to say no to self and yes to him. Let me ask you, how many churches would be accomplishing so much more for the kingdom of God if they would stop running around in the energy of their flesh and began praying for God to lead and to direct and to guide and to bless? God is searching hearts tonight. Ask yourself, if you're a church leader, if you're a church member, ask yourself this. What evidence of a yielded life, if any, do my knees bear? Now, friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, I pray that you'll come to know him. I pray that you'll repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will get saved tonight. I'll tell you this, there's no greater life than to live a life that is surrendered to Almighty God. And I pray tonight, Father, if there are those who are listening, in just a moment when this service finishes, Lord, we're going to ask people, we're going to share the gospel. Would you bring them to faith in Christ tonight? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.